this, the License Commission voting hearing. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. It's 10:03 a.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi building. Before you, the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer and Police Commissioner Brent Larrabee. Ben Pertler from Aramark has applied for a malt and wine license to host a reception at 32 Vassar Street on April 5th from 5:30 to 7 for 40 people.
Granted.
Ben Pertler on behalf of Aramark has applied for a malt and wine license to host a reception at 32 Vassar on April 21st from 5 to 9 for 90 people.
Granted, police detail required.
Jennifer Cleary has applied for a malt license to host a banquet at K2 Cafe, 500 Kendall Street in the cafe meeting room on April 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. for 50 people.
Granted.
Paul Clark has applied for a malt license to host a road race at 64 Sydney Street on private property on April 23rd, 2017 from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. for 2,100 people. This was approved by special events.
Granted. I'm assuming the police detail stuff got put into the special event permit?
Absolutely.
Okay. Granted.
Rebecca Victor from Harvard Dudley House has applied for a malt and wine license to host an Indian dance night at Harvard's Lehman Hall, third floor, on April 22nd from 7:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. for 100 people.
Granted. Police detail required.
Evan Mateen from the Harvard, is that supposed to be Iranian Association?
I don't know, I couldn't read it, so okay. The way I wrote it is how I read it on the application.
Okay. Has applied for a recorded live music with amplification entertainment license to host a celebration at Harvard's SOCH event hall, 104 on March 30th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. for 150 people.
Granted.
Mirhee Kim from the Harvard Korean Association has applied for a recorded live music with amplification and performers dancing entertainment license to host a cultural event at Harvard's Quincy House Dining Hall, 58 Plimpton Street on April 1st from 8 to 10:30 p.m. for 250 people.
Granted. Police detail required.
Rebecca Victor from Harvard Dudley House has applied for a recorded live music with amplification and patrons dancing entertainment license to host a spring swing at Harvard's Lehman Hall, third floor, on April 1st from 8:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. for 100 people.
Granted. Police detail required.
Benjamin Kalnos, manager of North Point Cafe, Incorporated, holder of an alcohol license at 8 Education Street, has applied for a one-day increase in capacity from 130 to 175 to host a reception from 5:30 to 8 p.m.
And just as an FYI, we did send this to Cambridge Fire.
Yes.
And they went and they inspected, and they say that their occupancy load is much higher than this anyways, and so they broke it down. And to say what Christopher Towski said, he says he does not believe that there's an issue allowing the request, and life and safety will not be compromised. So I would vote to grant the one-day exemption.
Is that the add-on?
No. This is in order of the agenda.
I have all the administrative matters.
So then I don't know. Yes, then probably this is the add-on. This is whatever's on your green folder. This is an application.
Okay. Phil Murphy?
Yes.
Okay. Phil Murphy, on behalf of Phoenix Communications, has applied for a special noise variance to be exercised on April 4th through April 7th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. at the following locations: Lyne Street at Cambridge Street, 3rd Street at Cambridge Street, and Fulkerson Street at Cambridge Street for idling vans while splicing work is done.
The application is actually for April 5th from 8 p.m. to April 7th to 6 a.m. Basically, it says midnight start. It'll take two nights, and that they can't do it during the day because of the volume of the traffic on the tables. Granted.
Ethos Business Partners, doing business as Lee's Sushi Bar and Restaurant, holder of license number VIC10292, located at 425 Cambridge Street, has applied for a change to their hours from Monday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to Monday through Sunday from, excuse me, 7 a.m. to 1 a.m.
I'm sorry, this is for an annual change? This needs a hearing. No, that needs a hearing. The 1 a.m. closing hour from...
That's just a CB.
It doesn't matter. That needs a hearing.
Kevin Lau, on behalf of Chicken and Rice Guys, LLC, holder of license number PED10022, is requesting a change to his existing license to add 3rd Street and Binney Street to his license as part of the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority program.
Granted. We have the letter from Cambridge Redevelopment.
Administrative suggestions received to date regarding changes to the Hackney regulations.
Okay, so I went through some of the stuff that we received, and quite frankly, so I think the most substantive feedback that we've received were the written ones that we got, because I went through the hearing last time. And there were no specific, other than the written feedback, which was also reiterated by Deanne Elliott and Michael Muley, there weren't any specific ones to tackle. But I just want to start getting on these before they get too many of them, and then we don't have it. I did forward the federal question stuff to the law department, because I do know that we do not have the authority to enforce certain federal regulations when it comes to ADA. So they're looking into that, and so they have asked us not to make any sort of decisions on what to do with those types of comments. So I said we would table those until we get the feedback from the law department as to whether or not we can adopt some of these things. With that said, I'll start with Ms. Elliott's letter. I'm going to skip all the ADA stuff. She mentioned about passengers having the opportunity to testify at hearings that already exist, so I don't think that's an issue. She mentioned an exam and mandatory training with regard to the ADA. Again, I think we should table that until we hear back from the law department on it. For disqualification, we have that a Hackney license can immediately be revoked or denied if there is a finding that, you know, the applicant or holder has engaged in conduct that presents danger to public safety. She has asked that we also include civil rights violations as a ground. I don't think we can under the law, so I would say no to that suggestion. The markings on the licensed Hackney carriages, we took out in our proposal, we have that they have to have markings, but we did take out having the medallion number printed on all parts of the car. I quite frankly don't see the benefit to it, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's something we can think about more. I'm neither here nor there on the issue.
Has it ever been an issue?
Not that I've ever heard.
So, I mean, we can keep it floating around, and then hopefully when we open it up to get more input on the rules, we can ask if any of the drivers or owners come in, we can ask them. The items inside a Hackney carriage, she wants us to add again the map or a functioning GPS device to the list. She mentions blind passengers. It might be helpful for blind passengers, but you know, if the driver's not using the GPS, I don't know. Again, that's one of those things where I'm like, do we really want to require it as something that they need to have, or should we suggest that it's something that they need to have? I don't know.
I leave it as a suggestion. I don't think we...
The taxi stands where it says passengers are not obligated to board the taxi that's first in line. I don't understand her note. She says that she thinks that it actually makes it easier for drivers not to transport, but this has nothing to do with the driver in terms of, this has to do with passenger rights.
Right.
So I would nix this one as well. The refusal to transport. So in terms of number five, I quite frankly suggested the language of that a person that requires transport in an ambulance because I thought it made more sense, because when I read it, I personally did not understand what the use of a stretcher or motorized car was meant to deal with. I am happy to put it back as stretch, you know, the use of a stretcher or motorized car. It's actually the way it's written in the ordinance as well. I just don't think that that clarifies it more for anyone, but that's just me personally. Again, that can be a English as a second language issue.
No, it's not.
I truly don't understand it.
When I read it, it just seemed to me that they were talking about an ambulance. I mean, I don't see
exactly
a driver can be handling a stretcher.
Where would you put it?
Right.
In most vehicles that they have, where would they put it?
They wouldn't be able to put it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, her issue with this is that she thinks that the regulation is too subjective, that who's the driver to decide whether someone needs an ambulance or not, like if someone needs to go to a hospital, like every time you go to a hospital, you don't go in an ambulance. So, again, I don't know. I personally thought that reading that requires the use of a stretcher or motorized car made no sense to me whatsoever. I had no idea what it meant, and I just figured, based on reading the entire ordinance and what it was going for, I figured they meant an ambulance, but it wasn't intuitive to me.
It's very strange.
So anyways, we can change it back to that wording. It's actually the wording in the ordinance, but I would actually ask that we get a definition of what it means, because if it means an ambulance, then I just think we should say an ambulance. I mean, if English is my second language and I don't understand other drivers that have the same issue, how are they to know?
It needs clarification.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can forward this to the law department and try and figure out and have them tell us what exactly that's supposed to mean, and then we can just put it that way. I just find it that it's not coherent. With regard to we changed about the drivers, the medically diagnosed, and she doesn't touch any of that, but she mentions the types of penalties, and then she's mentioning that $300 limit is insufficient. That's what we can do under the ordinance, so I'm just gonna nix this entire suggestion.
Has that ever been a problem? People refusing to?
Yes.
Yes.
We've had issues with that. And she is, in fact, one of the alleged victims of that. The requirements and standards for dispatch, that they not ask if the passenger has a disability or use of a service animal before agreeing to dispatch a cab. I mean, I have no problem adding that. I think that's fine, but I don't.
I would add it.
Yeah, so let's add this. These are administrative policies and procedures. I am completely against adding these to rules and regulations. I think administrative policies and procedures change
exactly
more often than anything else, and I just think they have to be able to have flexibility to change with times. And so I would, yes, I think we need to look at our application for filing complaints, but it has nothing to do with the rules, and I know that we're currently working with that with the city new website, so
I agree.
Okay. those are her comments. With regard to Michael Muey's comments, again, I say we hold on the change of defining an accessible hackney carriage. Again, I don't know that we can adopt this definition based on the stuff that we've gotten from our lawyers. The forms of payment, he suggests that we add and or City of Cambridge elderly or disabled coupons to make it clear that it's just City of Cambridge ones. I'm fine with adding that.
Okay.
The use of alcohol and controlled substances and use of prescription drugs. I reread this. I can sort of understand what he's saying, but I am inclined in not accepting this suggestion only because we went through this issue as well in terms of the employees at a liquor license establishment, and this is sort of in line with what we decided then and what had been recommended by the police commissioner at the time in terms of public safety issues. So I would nix this suggestion unless you read it and think otherwise. Okay.
I agree.
The passenger seating, again, I would nix this suggestion. I think if a driver does not feel comfortable having a passenger sit in the front seat, I think the driver has the right to say no.
Absolutely.
Think this is a driver right. I'm
Absolutely.
Sorry. So I'm nixing that. You okay with that?
Yeah, and if the person wants to sit in the front, maybe there's another driver who is willing to do it.
Yeah. And then extras and surcharges, he suggests that we add that no surcharges are permitted for wheelchairs, walkers, and other assistive devices. I thought that was already in there, but I went back and it wasn't, and I'm fine with adding that.
Right.
Okay, so add that. All right. And again, I went through my notes of the meeting last time. I didn't see any other substantive or actual suggestions with regard to the current rules or the proposed rules that we're making. I do note that one of the people that spoke talked about the flat rate in summer for Fenway and stuff like that, but we weren't dealing with flat rates yet, and I don't want to get into that right now, because I think looking at the rates is the more substantive. I think rates need to be different in terms of how we do it.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you thought of? Nope. So then Ms. Blint, if you can just make sure to put time, I guess, I don't know if in the next agenda or the other one, but obviously during our next hearing to put time for comments on Hackney rules. I don't think we can do it for the next agenda, but the April 12th agenda. I'm sorry, I see people shaking. Are you here?
No, well, I don't know. They sent us here because they said deregulation. We want to know what's going on, so we know. We want to be in the picture, so we won't violate the rules and not violate the rules. We don't know where we are now. We're on the clouds.
Can you tell us your name for the record, please?
My name is Mohammed Malik.
Okay.
Yes.
So last week, was it last week or the week before?
The week before.
I can't remember, about a month ago, we published proposed new Hackney regulations.
Yes.
And we asked everyone to give us comments. We haven't received many comments on it. And hold on.
Sorry.
And 2 weeks ago, we scheduled a time for discussing that. And some drivers and some owners came and gave us their thoughts on the proposed rules and some of the current rules.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still taking comments from the public, from drivers, from owners, from anyone who's interested in giving us their input on these matters. And we're waiting for people to give us some feedback. We're not voting on these rules in terms of, we haven't adopted these proposed new rules. We'd still welcome comment. We weren't welcoming comment today because today's just purely an administrative hearing. But you're welcome to submit written comments. You are still to abide by the current rules and regulations because those are still in place. And that's about it. Does that answer your question?
We thank you. Yes. No, I think the existing rules, it's perfect. It's it's good for the consumer, and it's for the safety of the public. And I think, myself, my opinion, I've been doing this for 29 years in the city of Cambridge. And what I think it's, I think it's really suitable enough. I don't think we need any changes. Maybe on a little bit on the services, yes, but I don't know, the rules, the basic rules should stay the same.
Have you looked at the proposed new rules?
I've seen a little bit, but I've, you know, not much changes there. You know, I mean, you like, you compressing them into a little, you know, into like, you know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I think the rules where we are now, I think it's really good.
Okay.
And the existing rules. I mean, this is my opinion.
Should apply for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. And we think the rules should apply for everybody, even for, you know, for the other guys too.
Like I said last time, and like has been said by everyone along the way, the state has taken action, and the state has said that only the state can regulate TNCs. So.
Yes, we do understand that.
Okay.
Well, what regulation is fine. This is what we
do. Okay. Anyone else want to say anything, even though we weren't taking public testimony?
If you're not taking it, thank you.
No, sorry, we didn't
know. All right. Thank you. So we'll have time on April 12th.
Sure.
Can at 3 p.m.
Do us a favor, please. Can you announce it on a certain way so could we know exactly?
We tweeted it. We put it on the Cambridge Chronicle. We sent letters. We sent emails to all of the owners that have given us emails. So. And we put it on the city's agenda on the city's calendar.
All right, we thank you very much for the help and for everything.
No problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next.
Thank you for your time.
Of course.
Change of fee policy on the animal entertainment licenses.
I gave you a memo, and this memo is with regard to changing fees. So these fees that we're proposing wouldn't go into effect until the next round of renewals, which for common victualers and entertainment is in November. But the thing is that since we're transferring to a new electronic system, we need to create the system before it actually rolls out, so it's good if we have these. So for common victualer licenses right now, the administrative cost isn't covered by these fees generally, especially for the ones, you know, on the lower spectrum from like the 99 seats down. So I think all CVs should just have a flat rate of $100. That's also kind of like what the, you know, General Law Chapter 140 sort of guides us by. It's like a guidance from 140. And then have a dollar per occupancy, indoor occupancy. Because I think that takes care, like the $100 takes care of the administrative stuff of keeping this and all that stuff. And the $1 per occupancy. So if you have 100 occupancy, it would be, you know, $200 license. It really allows us to offset the cost of enforcement, policing, and all that stuff. So that would be my suggestion on that.
We're not voting on this today.
No, we're not. But I just want to explain my memo because it's kind of long.
Yeah, but it explains it very well.
I know, but it also has attachments, so I want to explain what the attachments are. The alcohol common victualers that serve alcohol on a patio right now, in terms of the outdoor seating, if it's on public property, we charge them $750. That fee is a complicated internal administrative process between the license commission, law department, and city manager, so I don't think we should touch that. I do think that patios in general should have just a fee, like an additional fee. They do attract more patrolling and everything, and all of this stuff is in there, but basically that's what that is. Entertainment licenses, that's what, and I won't go through all of it because it's a longer memo, but that's where the attachments come in, and I just want to explain to you what they are. The first attachment is it says City of Cambridge Entertainment Fee Schedule. That's the current fee schedule. That one. That's the current fee schedule. Then the next pages are that sort of workflow that I'm talking about that's being worked on so that we can create the new applications and the new licensing system. And this is sort of what's being proposed. but I feel like this breaks it down nice and pretty for you. And then the next three pages are exactly...
How come we charge for trivia?
Well, because it, the foot traffic and the noise and the amplification and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And it's also a category of entertainment that's licensed.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So now I know that trivia.
And then the last three pages are basically the same as the previous three, but with some comments in terms of, you know, amplification stuff would continue to be capped at 1500 and stuff like that. But anyways, you can read this at your leisure. I just felt like I needed to explain the memo a little bit, or the attachments rather, for your reading question. Next. And then I'll give it to Mahoney, because...
When
we act on this? So, I'm gonna give it to Mahoney now, so that he has it as well. I would say probably in April, if not
first or second.
Yeah, the first or second meeting, only because we're the system's being created thereafter, and so it just would be easier. But you know, I think probably in April. Definitely not next week.
Okay,
is that it?
That's it.
And sir, did you say you want to say something?
Yeah,
if you can state your name for the record, that would be great.
My name is Dhanpat Rai.
And how do you spell that?
D-H-A-N-P-A-T.
D-H?
D-H-A-N-P-A-T-R-A-I.
Yes.
Okay, I have just question. We have a 100 feet rule for nobody can pick up from like stand, but I have always problem on Galleria Mall.
Yeah.
They always pick up from back there, people not on stand. And I call every time, they said I can't be everywhere, police officer, I call Hackney. They said I can come right now, even he come, they will left. But I have people, I can tell you, whoever pick up, like it's 4 or 5 people, nobody else. They always do same. They just come behind, and people waiting from 1 hour, 2 hours, they are just sitting there, and they just pick up and leave.
Okay.
It's not on stand. If somebody on stand, I don't mind. Okay, anybody can pick. Okay. But if somebody pick up from less than 100 feet, should be punished like hard, not at least 3. If you punish people like a couple of times, they will be stopped, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Every time. I have too much problem.
Thank you. I should have mentioned that in the last meeting, someone else raised that issue as well as other issues in terms of taxi stands and whatever. And after our meeting, we did inform our Hackney officers of the complaints in the areas that had been identified by the cab drivers that spoke at that meeting. And these are areas that are now going to be patrolled more regularly by the Hackney officers. So thank you.
And you can also report those, the medallion numbers to the Hackney officer.
Yeah, but he said I can't come now, or he's
no, but
working.
you can tell him who it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.